Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week. Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman. And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
And right now you've got the color analyst and the Jaguars.com side of the studio, I guess you could say, riding along for the next, I'd say 52 minutes or so. Jeff Lagerman here with John Osher. Good evening, John.
No voice and no left tackle.
No voice and no bully.
Our blind side is kind of exposed tonight.
A couple things real quick. I know that we're going to talk about this a little bit later. Our voice of the Jaguars, Joe Fortunato, will handle that. But tomorrow night, big event going on at World Golf Village from 6 to 8 p.m. And this is a star-studded lineup for the Team Teal event. It's going to be at the Walk of Champions at the World Golf Hall of Fame. And in attendance will be the commish, Tony Buscelli. And we call him that for the Team Teal, but in here we call him the bully or the blind side. And Jaguars president Mark Lamping, along with head coach Mike Mularkey. Wide receiver Laurent Robinson, cheerleaders Jackson DeVille, and I think there's going to be some other players there as well, soon to be named.
Yeah, it's a good event. It's a good cast.
And me and you participated the one up in Fernandina Beach, Nassau County, last week, and that was a good event. Great showing. Hey, congratulations to all the people up there in Fernandina Beach. What a showing.
Yeah.
Exciting event, and it was fun to interact with the fans, and we apologize to them for running a little bit late, but weather kind of dictated that. We didn't have really a whole lot to do with being late, but that's kind of how it happened. But only a few minutes late, and we got there, and the place was packed. And I believe Mr. Bean was the one who kind of hosted the event, did a tremendous job, and really enjoyed myself.
Well, and it's the first one of those I've really been to with players. And, what strikes you, and you've dealt with this before, Jeff, is how easy those are to do because you've got good people to take with you. You know, you've got Mel Tucker, Joe Cullen, Paul Posluszny, Russell Allen, you know, yourself. I mean, it's easy to have things like that go well. You know, when you've got good people to go, and it wasn't hard. Renzo Shepherd did a good job, setting it up, and it's a joy to work with people who are good people to work with.
And we took the bus.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we rode in style. The Jaguars bus rolled into Fernandina Beach.
I almost went back and had a little nap.
That was cool. That was cool. You know, you pulled up right at the front door, and it kind of reminded me, and you get the feel from some of these events. It reminds me of some of the excitement. That I got to experience back in 95 and 96, and you got to see in 95 and 96.
Well, there was, when you covered it, I'm not sure I had the, full appreciation because it was the first NFL team I'd covered. You came from a different, team, so when you got here, you understood it was different. When I was covering it, it was just, I was covering an expansion team, and I thought it happened all the time. But there was an energy, and there was an energy, I think you retired after 98.
That's right.
But the energy built and built and built in those early years. It was almost like you were taking a step each year toward what a lot of people thought was the inevitable, and they fell a little bit short. But there was, there was just that feeling of building, and everything was optimism and hope. And, it does feel a little bit like that. I would agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, it was at the, I believe it was the Atlantic Auditorium there on Atlantic Boulevard. And it was like a gymnasium / auditorium, and it was a packed house.
It was a rally.
And people, I give, the players credit because the players were extremely accommodating. They signed autographs. They took pictures. They answered questions.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good night for fans to come out and to really, get to know some of the players and coaches, firsthand. And tomorrow night will be no different.
Well, and it's a couple of guys, last week, Russell Allen and Paul Posluszny, who in a lot of ways sort of define what the defense is all about. A lot of guys do. But, they re-signed Russell Allen this year. Paul Posluszny, every time you're around him, you realize one of the better free agent signings the franchise has ever had. I think it's pretty safe to say on and off the field. Just quality guys. And it's, I'm sure tomorrow night will be successful as well.
Just a little note on Paul Posluszny out there at the OTAs today as the OTAs continue to roll along and talked with, you know, my former teammate, Tom Oslinski, the Jaguars, you know, strength and conditioning coordinator. Mm-hmm. And we got on the subject briefly of Paul Posluszny, and his comments were just exuberant. He said, look, he said, this guy is an absolute stud. What he's doing in the weight room, obviously Penn State comes from a free weight background. And so, I mean, he just was thoroughly impressed about everything that Paul Posluszny represented when it came to his time dealing with him.
Well, that sort of reflects that, you know, we were talking to Mel Tucker last year when Mel was the head coach, and him just talking about how, you know, you don't always get guys who come in and just fit and are everything that you sort of expect they're going to be and that you want in free agency. And here's a guy who came in and gave them what they needed on the field, gave them what they needed off the field, has become a leader. And I was amazed last year at how quickly Paul was clearly a leader of the defense within days. I mean, it was guys who were there, you never got a sense of resentment. The guy coming in knew. It was guys immediately knew what this guy was all about. And, you know, well, one of those natural leadership situations. You can see why.
All right, news from today's OTA. Little blast from the past here. You know, I always like to kind of have a little news item when you got where are they now.
Mm-hmm.
And today at the Jaguars OTA, people remember going back to the early years, Reggie Barlow, who still holds the Jaguars record for, I believe, punt returns, yardage, punt return touchdowns, who was a fantastic player, wore number 84, right?
Yes, he did.
And Reggie was a fantastic player. I didn't know where Reggie's been.
He's been the head coach at Alabama State. Right.
Yeah, since 07, which is his alma mater.
Right.
And he was at practice today.
And what a, you know, he played with Jimmy and Keenan and was, I think he flirted or was the third guy for a while, but in basically a two-receiver set. But he was one of those guys that if all of your mid-round draft picks were Reggie Barlow's,
you'd be in
pretty good shape. And again, what a what a solid guy he always was. I'd forgotten. I spoke to him very briefly in the hallway, and I'd forgotten, you know, what a joy it was to cover him. Very quiet.
Good guy. It's funny, he came up to me because I didn't recognize him. I haven't seen Reggie since, what was the last year that he played, or, you know, 2007.
Well, 2000 was his last year here.
97?
No, he played through 2000. He signed with the Raiders as a free agent when they were redoing the cap in 01.
Okay.
He was one of the guys who was a, you know, who was a necessary casualty.
I hadn't seen him in a long time. It was good to see him.
Ben, 10-11, I hadn't seen him since I wrote the story that he was leaving. So it was great to see him.
It was good to see him, and also congratulations to him because he was named, I believe, the interim head coach at Alabama State, his alma mater, back in 06. And since he's been the head coach at Alabama State, 19-26 record, and he's continued to be committed to his alma mater because the reports are is that Reggie had opportunities to come to the NFL and coach. I believe there was an opportunity to work for Mike Shanahan.
Okay.
And then also an opportunity recently to work with Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco, but Reggie remains committed to Alabama State.
Yeah, we talked today. He said he, you know, at some point he might like to be, you know, a college head coach, Division I type thing, but, you know, that's always a dream, I think. But, you know, he's obviously doing very well there. And I don't know that he's a guy who you thought of when you were covering him. Hey, this guy's going to be a head coach someday, but not surprising that he is.
No, because he was so quiet.
And sure.
We got more news from the OTAs, and we'll get to that right after this from the famous Joe Fortunato.
Hey, and how cool is that to end up back at your alma mater
cool.
and be a head coach?
Way cool.
That's just great. Season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer a Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. Now, for more information on joining the Refer a Fan program, just call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000, or visit jaguars.com. We'll pay some bills, check the traffic, check the weather, and more Jaguars this week right here on News Talk WOKV. Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out. Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. No more, get better with Jeff Lagerman.
And welcome back to Jaguars This Week. And, you know, the news from today's OTA, first and foremost, there was film crews there at practice today, and they're doing some filming for upcoming commercials that are going to play. The kind of in the line of, you know, we're all in, mm-hmm. just like Mike Mularkey and Shad Khan had already done, and those are out and playing right now. And they had a whole, you know, I guess two film crews that were shooting, some during practice, some after practice. And so looking forward to seeing how that comes out.
About 300 or 400 people, it looked like.
There
were a lot of people. And, yeah, those so far have turned out well.
Yeah, and the other thing that I thought really stood out to me, and to me it was the number one storyline, and in that practice today just seemed full of energy, real up-tempo. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think as players, you get that when you feel something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you feel something building.
Well, Mike's talked several times in his press conference after the OTAs about you know, they've sort of asked him, how do you feel about how the team's responding? And his theme has sort of been, he feels like it's going well because they're practicing hard. And he feels like that's a sign that they're buying in and they're accepting what's going on. They may not know everything that's going on yet. They may not have the offense down pat, but they're eager and open to accepting it and enthusiastic about it. And as cliche as that sounds, and it's not the cynical sports writer point of view, but there's something to that.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, that, you know, they're still not doing things completely right offensively. I mean, you can still tell that it's OTA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're having to re-huddle because they didn't break the huddle and line up properly. There's still guys that are trying to figure out the terminology and where to line up, and that's okay.
Well, and that's why you tend not to, you know, you stand with the media, and as a media guy, you tend to sort of do instant analysis. And you have to kind of check yourself during OTAs and remind yourself there's a reason that it's OTAs. They're working on things, and there's going to be mistakes as you figure things out. And, you know, so when there's an errant pass or when there's a drop pass or a misrun route, that's okay in OTAs. That's when you want it to happen, and you want to have active learning and active improvement, and it seems like that's the case.
And I know that, you know, I mentioned some other news items from today's OTA practice. Number one was I got a chance yesterday, and so this is somewhat yesterday's news, and that come to find out, I go to Jaguars.com, and you've got an article written, High Hopes. Can I get a little cha-ching?
Hey, I'm on the phone.
He's on the phone. There we go. But it was about Rasheem Mathis, because yesterday during the OTA practice, you know, I got a chance to really watch Rasheem Mathis run.
Mm-hmm.
And how many months is he now post-op from an ACL reconstruction?
Well, he injured it November 17th,
so
I want to say, or in that.
He's five
but he had
and a half.
Surgery December.
Yeah, so he's five and a half months, ballpark, somewhere, you know, on either side of that. And watching him run striders yesterday, away from the team, and you know, he's doing it on his own, I was impressed.
Yeah, and it's been a story.
Did you see that? Let's say I got to write an article about.
No, Mike Mularkey, I think it was last week, had said that the plan, if everything goes well and he has no setbacks, is for Rasheem to practice on at least a limited basis in mid-June. And I'd
be a tremendous accomplishment.
I said mid-June. I mean, that's you sort of assume with an ACL that you're looking at limited in training camp, bringing them back and hoping maybe some limited work early in the season. I mean, that's sort of your ideal ACL return. And when you say mid-June, that's
impressive.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
You know, the old timetable for ACL
used to be a year.
Was a year.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, okay, 9 months you can start doing things full speed, but you're not back still until you get to 1 year.
Right.
You know, and Aaron Kampman, the first ACL reconstruction that he had, he did it in a relatively short amount of time. And then the second one, obviously, it's taken time.
Right.
And so to kind of follow along those lines, Aaron Kampman today at practice was doing some positional type drills. Mm-hmm. Get off, you know, no helmet on, not with anybody else, but him and Terrence Knight were over there working on the side. And to see him doing some positional type drills was good, because up until now I hadn't seen him do anything but the bike.
Well, and even last year, we talked a little about this in the off season. Even last year when he was doing things, he wasn't doing anything close to what you really expect from Aaron Campbell.
No, but what I saw today encouraged me.
That's And that's impressive because you were never really encouraged last year.
No, because last year you could watch him. He still didn't quite get the weight over that knee.
Right.
And the little bit of time that we got to see in watching him today, you could see that he was putting some weight over that knee. And I went, hey.
Well, that's impressive because the book is, hey, nothing till training camp, and then you'll see what happens. But if you're seeing good things, we've always kind of said on this show, it's dangerous to count a guy like that out because he will put the work in, and he's got the talent when it's right to back it up clearly.
And
boy, what a boost that would be for the defensive line if that was
huge.
The case.
It would be huge. I mean, you want to have that third guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying he would be three. You know, he could be two or one, and then somebody else would,
well, he'd be a bonus.
Role, I mean, three.
Right now, you have to look at whatever you get out of him as a bonus because you really can't plan things around that because you don't know. But if you had a potential 10-sack guy as your bonus, as the old cliche, that's a free draft day. That's a free agent.
And the other encouraging thing, Terrence Knight was working right there with him.
Mm-hmm.
So Terrence, obviously, it was written last week about how, hey, he's ahead of schedule. He's able to do some things conditioning-wise. Yesterday in practice, Terrence was running his rear end off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not literally.
Yeah.
And then today, doing so, that'd take a lot of running.
That's some doing.
I don't think that'd be possible. But, he was doing individual type of, position-specific conditioning with Aaron Campman today. And so, and he's wearing his protective glasses,
right.
While he's doing everything on the field. And anytime he leaves the locker room, I'm sure pretty much 24 hours a day, mm-hmm. with the exception of sleep, and he's wearing that just to protect. So that was encouraging.
But the thing with Terrence is you can't automatically say right now, hey, he's out of the woods, because it was a serious thing that happened with his eye, and he's got to get back to where he's doing contact and football stuff with it. But, again, it's another situation where as good a news as you can have, he's had so far. Mm-hmm. And that's all you can ask for a month and a half after something pretty serious with his eye.
A couple weeks ago I talked about some of the attention to detail by coaching. Today I was absolutely amazed, and it's not very often that I see something that I haven't seen before out of a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because heck, you've worked with coaches your whole career. I've watched a lot of coaches since I've been done playing. And one of the legends of football, Sylvester Croom, the Jaguars mm-hmm. running backs coach who has been in the National Football League 20 years. I mean, he was one of the guys that that broke the barrier at Alabama under Bear Bryant
right.
in year two. He is literally a living legend mm-hmm. in the state of Alabama. And Sylvester Croom, there was a lot of talk kind of when the staff, the old staff, was pretty much dismissed, would the running backs coach, Ernest Byner, stay on? He's done such a good job. He had Chris Johnson lead the league in rushing. He had Maurice Jones-Drew
right.
lead the league in rushing. And today in practice, there was a drill that Sylvester Croom pulled out of the hat that I just thoroughly impressed me. And he had all the running backs, and they're working on ball security.
Right.
And they have the ball, and tied to the ball somehow is like a strap. And so the ball carrier carries the ball, and the strap has like a tag end, which is very long. It's, 15 feet. And one of the other players will hold that tag line, and the running back runs. And while he's running, one of his teammates will pull mm-hmm. on that tag end string to try to dislodge the ball. And so it's working on ball security, not turning the ball over. I can honestly say that in my 23, 24 years of being around in the National Football League, and on top of that, the years in college, I have never seen a drill that made more sense
right.
than what I saw today.
Well, and there's a lot of little things going on like that. And you talk about the value of coaching, and Jerry Sullivan, and I forget who he was coaching at the time, there was something today where a receiver slipped. And Jerry said, you were leaning too far to your left. That's why you slipped.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, that's a detail. That's what you're talking about with detail. And that's what he's going to bring. And that's impressive. I think
it was Mike Thomas, because I was right there. Mike slipped out.
I don't remember who it was.
So you got to get the plant foot and get the proper
right.
lean and going into that to slow the momentum down.
And that's, again, what we're talking about with. That's the That's the mistake you want to have happen in OTA so you can correct it. When people ask you in the offseason, well, what difference is coaching going to make for these guys? You know, how big of a difference is this staff really going to be? Is that realistic? I think that's the sort of thing where you can look at and say, okay, there's incremental improvements going to be made because of moments like that, perhaps.
All right, and I got two players of the day that I was really impressed with today offensively. All right, and we'll get to that right after this.
Good tease.
What a tease.
Good tease.
Like good stuff.
Am I learning?
Yeah, you're doing okay.
Okay.
You're doing all right. I like Johnny better, but you're doing okay. This is Sports and the Jaguars This Week brought to you by Football Fanatics. We'll do news and then more of Jaguars This Week right after this. Well, the Jaguars and Team Teal head to St. John's County for another Team Teal pep rally. Meet Team Teal Commissioner and sometimes participant of this radio program, Tony Baselli. Jaguars President Mark Lamping, Head Coach Mike Mularkey, Wide Receiver Lauren Robinson, members of the Roar and Jackson DeVille, they'll all be there tomorrow night from 6 to 8 at the Walk of Champions at the World Golf Hall of Fame. The rally is free. It's open to the public. Now back to Johnny O and Loggy.
And Loggy.
That's a star-studded cast, too, because obviously Mike Mularkey, you know, is a guy you want to hear from football, but you know, Mark Lamping in that setting, it is very good and has a lot to say about the direction of the franchise.
Yeah, so, but he's a St. Louis Cardinals fan, and that's just bad.
There's always negatives, but I mean, that'll be a good event for fans who really want to figure out sort of where the franchise is going. That'll be a good event.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. And folks, when you get a chance to meet the head coach, Mike Mularkey, you won't come away anything but impressed.
Yeah, I've been talking to some players about a story I think I'm going to write next week about thank you, Joe. You know, about Mike and, you know, having given the players a chance to sort of get to know him a little bit, what he's all about. And the players talk a lot about, you know, the consistency and his ability to communicate his message, which sounds very basic, but it's pretty intrinsic to coaching. And it's not easy to establish what you want quickly. And the players say he's done a very good job of that within about a three-month period. And really only having them in the room for a few weeks, his ability to communicate and his ability to put out there what he's looking for, I think is part of what we were talking about with the energy.
All right, so I had teased who I thought were, you know, my players of the day.
Good tease.
But let me start with, you know, I don't want to say my bad players of the day, but, you know, because this is May. You know, you got to kind of have that disclaimer, the timing between the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. And you can see it's getting better.
It wasn't great today.
But when so much is being taught, as it is with both position groups, sometimes you've got to have some rough spots before all of a sudden it just becomes second nature and it's just plain pitch and catch.
Well, again, you're at a learning on the fly stage, which is they haven't had 6 weeks to build up to this.
That's right.
This is their practice. This is their time together. And when people, you know, write the ozone, Joe, and tell me, you know, hey, how's the chemistry going? Well, it's getting there.
It's building. It's
building. I mean, if chemistry matters, you wouldn't have it the first 2 days.
Well,
you know, so,
and I say that, and you know, everything's got to be taken, I guess you could say, is with a grain of salt because it is May and it's the very beginning of OTAs. And then also, this is the first part of practice. Now, also, you know, they may have finished up very strong.
Right.
But we got somewhat of a different treat in that the part we were allowed to watch at the beginning of practice.
Right.
We got a chance to watch some one-on-one type work with the wide receivers and the defensive backs, which we haven't seen that yet.
And it's still limited sort of one. I mean, it's one-on-one, but it's not bump. It's not.
Right.
There are rules that limit how much that can be.
Exactly. So the timing is still a work in progress. But I can tell you from watching the individual drills and seeing the throws and the footwork from the quarterbacks.
Right.
You know, Chad Henne continues to impress me. Blaine Gabbert, I'm not seeing that big last steep step that Bob Brackowski had talked about in the evening with the coaches. I'm not seeing that.
And that was, from what you gathered from Bob that night, that was really step one. That was the thing they wanted to get out first. And they felt like if they got rid of that, a lot of other things would build from it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you ready for my two top stars of the day?
I cannot wait, Jeff.
Number one, I thought, was Eben Britton.
Mm-hmm.
And Eben Britton looks healthy. And last year in training camp, and I remember saying this to you, and I remember saying it to Brian and Joe, and I said, hey, something's not right with Eben Britton. It's something personal, something physical, whatever it was. Because he just didn't seem like the same guy. Eben's always been one of those guys, when he's been at practice, you notice him.
Right.
Because he finishes plays even in practice. He's loud. He gets excited. I mean, all the things that you want to have from an offensive lineman who's a leader. And he's a natural leader.
Well, it's interesting because I had asked you today before the show, as a disclaimer, we had talked about this, so I kind of guessed that you would say Eben is one of the guys. But I had sort of made it a point to watch him today, too. And as little as I can tell, not having played, about exactly what a guy's doing in shorts and OTAs on the offensive line, you could definitely see an energy out of Eben and a willingness to hit the bag, to not favor what he's doing, to move around comfortably, to not worry about getting up off the ground and making two or three movements in a row, I guess is what I'm saying, and not sitting there worried about what's going to happen with the back. Everybody's sort of had back, you know, pain when you get up, and you're sort of saying, well, what's going to happen when I get up? You don't see that hesitancy out of him.
No.
And just to the naked eye, to the journalist's eye from the sidelines, that to me looked like a good sign. It was interesting to me that when I asked you about it today, you immediately started saying what you're telling me.
But
that's good.
My big read was the body language.
Right.
You know, to see that Eben Britton that we saw a couple years ago, to where he stands out.
Yeah.
Because he gets excited. He's finishing. He's around the ball. Last year you didn't see that, and then all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, we find out he's got a back thing going.
Right. Yeah, he was actually, without pads today, I would define it as attacking the bag. I mean, he was going at the bag pretty hard, and it was enough that it stood out to both of us.
Yeah, that impressed me. The other one was Rashad Jennings. And, you know, Rashad's got a great opportunity with Maurice not being here for the OTAs. I mean, this is a tremendous opportunity for him to get reps and to get better, especially after the layoff that he had from last year. He impressed me because I think he's a tremendous athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rashad Jennings is just overflowing with talent. And we really haven't seen all of what he's capable of yet. We thought we would start to see some of that last year, but then he got hurt with the knee. And he looks great. And he may be in the best shape of anybody on that practice field.
Yeah, he's impressive.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, we talk before the draft. And
of course, Greg Jones has long sleeves on, so
yeah. Well, you
if Greg took the sleeves off, he'd probably
you kind of throw him out. That's a given. I mean, that's
the best arms in football.
You don't count him, but he, you know, fans talked all off season. Why aren't they doing this on the offensive line? Why aren't they getting a right tackle? Why aren't they, you know, getting a back behind Maurice? A lot of the reasons that you make certain moves is you've already got guys on the roster. You don't just necessarily forget a guy because he's been hurt. They have their own medical information on these guys, such as Eben, that we don't have it. You know, we don't have that information. I think they had a better feeling about Eben Britton than perhaps a lot of the fans did,
mm-hmm.
and that it's all. You never want to say a guy's completely out of the woods until you see him hit with pads, but what we're seeing would seem to indicate that he's got a chance to be right again, which he hasn't been in a while.
Well, and that still has to be proven.
Sure.
You know, the durability and such. But, I mean, that's just an observation from the early part of OTAs that, hey, and I'm not saying he's my OTA player of the season.
Right.
He's my OTA player of the day along with Rashad because I thought they both looked exceptional today. And Rashad just, he looks in phenomenal shape.
And
he really does.
If Eben's right, something we also talked about this afternoon, which I think is interesting, I never really saw Eben play when he was right. And I asked you, you like him when he's going right. He's an asset.
Well, and I had explained to you, and I kind of used the name Justin Strelzik.
Uh-huh.
Played for the Pittsburgh Steelers for a very long time, nicknamed Jugs, played against the guy quite a bit. Didn't have a ton of talent, and I think that Eben has a lot more talent than Justin Strelzik. but it's the attitude in which they play with.
Mm-hmm.
They remind me a lot of each other, and that the way they finish plays, the way that it may not look perfect, that at the end of the play, his guy was eliminated and wasn't around the ball. I mean, that's just the type of player that he reminds me of.
And he can't, I mean, I've only really been around Evan to cover him during this injury, but he's a guy who is very forthcoming, very honest, and you get the feeling this really matters to him a great deal, and that he wants to be back. Now, does that necessarily mean it happens? No, but he cares about it, and it would be terrific to see him make it back and be right again.
All right, when we come back, you know, every year there's always an undrafted rookie free agent that kind of makes people go, wow, that mm-hmm. was a nice get. I've got somebody in mind.
All right.
You think about it during
we'll
the break.
We'll see if we agree.
We'll see if we're on the same page. But and, Joe, I'm not even going to ask your opinion on that.
You know, you guys talked earlier about having a good time on the bus going up to Fernandina.
Mm-hmm.
The caravan's going to be rolling again starting June 1st. When we come back, I'll tell you when and where. A lot of dates, folks, so pay attention.
Good tease, Joe.
Thanks. Thanks. We'll be back. Jaguars Radio.
Meteorologist Dr. Joe Sobel, News Talk WOKV.
Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. About 10 minutes left in the show. John Osher, Jeff Logman, making it all worthwhile for you. Didn't mention those caravans coming up. A lot of dates, guys. A lot of movement in not a lot of time. Friday, June 1st, Brunswick, Georgia. It'll be in downtown Brunswick. Down in Palm Coast on the 4th. That's a Monday. June 5th in Volusia County on the City Center Circle. Wednesday the 6th in Gainesville, June 7th, Savannah, June 8th, Waycross, and June 9th, Valdosta. A lot of players, a lot of celebrities, cheerleaders, prizes.
And if you want to get more info, go to Jaguars.com.
You got it.
Right, can we get a ching on that? Maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe? There we go. Jaguars.com for all the information on the Team Till rallies. And don't forget, tomorrow night it all starts down at the World Golf Village from 6 to 8 p.m., and that's the Walk of Champions at the World Golf Hall of Fame. All right, Johnny O., have you given it some thought? An undrafted rookie free agent that you would put at the top of your list right now of a guy that you say, hey, when we get to camp, I can't wait to see him.
Yeah, I would say I like Kevin Elliott. I'm looking forward to seeing how he performs on special teams.
Now, Kevin Elliott, undrafted wide receiver from Florida A&M.
Right. I don't necessarily know that he's going to be a top six wide receiver on this team immediately, but as a gunner on special teams, he looks impressive. I mean, he looks like he could be impressive. And there's other guys. You know, defensive end from Bethune.
I just wanted one.
All right.
Okay, and Kevin Elliott, I watched him in practice today, and he actually is on my list. I got right. Three guys.
Well, you told me I could have one.
No, I know. but I mean, I'm only going to pick one. I got one at the top. Okay, but Kevin Elliott is on my list of guys to watch as far as undrafted rookies. And the reason why is today, you know, you can't watch everything. And so you have to kind of pick and choose each day what you're going to watch. And today I really focused in on running backs and wide receivers, quarterbacks, obviously, because they work a lot with them in the early part of the practice. And Kevin Elliott impressed the heck out of me. And there was one play in particular that he caught a ball on a route, and it was during that individual time where they were working against defensive players, and we were seeing a lot of throwing, you know, that one-on-one type of stuff without it being physical. And Kevin caught a pass in which he was running routes. And when he caught it, a lot of the wide receivers were just making sure their feet were in bounds, and then that was the end. And they would just, you know, jog back to get ready to, you know, get in the back of the line and do it again. And he caught the ball, planted his feet, and got up the field. You know, he finishes plays. He's athletic.
He looks very in control of his body out there.
He was a tryout guy.
Yeah.
And he was a tryout guy, wasn't he? In the trash show, there's a roster in there.
No, I think he was a signing. I think he was a free agent signing. But there's not a huge difference between the two this year.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, regardless, he's a free agent. And
the old crumpled roster here that I just
professional show business.
There may be some red velvet cupcake on there that don't matter.
No, you're right. He was actually signed. He was not a workout rookie.
But he was I did a story on him for Jaguars.com about 3 weeks ago, and he was actually a state high jump and a triple jump champion, and had a chance to go scholarship for that. Florida A&M was the only school that offered him a football scholarship and was dedicated to playing football. So
he's looked good.
Yeah.
You know, and he's looked good. And, yeah, let's take John, because this kind of ties into, you know, the receiving group that we're talking about. Good evening, John.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good.
And Jeff, you're one of the top ones I want to talk to about this. Is, you know, they're talking about the, you know, maybe Thomas gone, and if Thomas is gone, and that'll be Underwood too, you know, Gene's draft pick, and how bad this is and everything. And this is coming from some people that I really don't, the only radio station people that talk on this station come on Saturday talking about fishing and hunting.
Well, you know, so what's your question? You got to ask a question.
My question is that, have you heard anything about maybe Thomas going? And if he does go, you know, that's, what, 3 years ago? You know, there's
so
a lot
asking,
of teams.
You're asking, John.
Pittsburgh, Cleveland, you know, Philadelphia, Redskins, all these, you know, New England. Teams let players go that are not, you know, they don't work out.
Okay, so your question is will he end up? Being, you know, could he be gone?
I would say right now Mike is one of a group of Jaguars receivers that are about 3 through 6. I'd say Justin Blackman and LaRon Robinson are clearly the top two. Mm-hmm. Mike, Lee Evans, Cecil Shorts, Brian Rabisky are guys that I would consider right now in that next group. And I think my guess is Mike will be here. I mean, if I had to guess, I think he's, you know, he's a guy who's done it before.
When you have a new staff.
But, yeah.
Okay, when you have a new staff and they come in.
Clean slate means clean slate.
It's a clean slate, and that means a clean slate.
And with this bunch, it definitely means clean slate.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there was some talk today, will Mike's contract be the thing that keeps him here or doesn't keep him here? It's not going to come down to how much Mike's making. It's going to come down to, is he one of the best five receivers
what
on this team?
What can he do to help the passing game and the quarterback?
And you basically, after last season, you hit the reset button on the wide receivers.
Yes.
And the reset button means we'll figure this out in mid-August.
And I think you putting him in that 3 to 6 range is right on.
Yeah.
I think from my eyes, and it hasn't been every day, and I don't get to see everything, but from what I get to see, He is in the mix, which, you know, you'd like to have him be at the top of the heap. He hasn't put himself there yet. But
right.
There's a lot of work. I mean, this is a new system for Mike, too.
Sure.
You know, this is a new coaching staff for Mike. It's a clean slate. So,
and we're 2 weeks in on this.
We're in May.
So
we're in May.
Let's
we
temper
will see.
All this.
All right,
let me give
you my undrafted rookie free agent to watch.
At last.
And you hit it. I mean, when you went to number two, it's Ryan Davis.
Okay.
The defensive end from Bethune-Cookman. To me, watching the defensive linemen move in their individual drills, and Joe Cullen works them, and he works them hard, I like what I'm seeing out of him. I'm liking what I see out of his athleticism. I'm liking out of what I see as far as his ability to use some of his hands. Mm-hmm. He has impressed me. But again, it's May.
Right.
Okay, and there's a lot more to show when it comes to a defensive lineman.
There's not a pad on that
field
yet.
That's right. The only pad that he may have is knee and thigh pads, if Roger Goodell makes him wear knee and thigh pads in the OTAs.
Right, the only pads out there are the ones Pozlesny's wearing.
And,
he's not wearing pads.
He's not wearing pads. He looks
just
like
it.
And we haven't even gotten this. So many topics this week. I mean, the NFLPA saying there's collusion going on with the league meetings. Trade dates move back a couple weeks. They're going to make the players wear knee and thigh pads next year. The injury reserve rule, they may have one exemption. But all these are going to be subject to approval by the NFLPA. So I guess we can talk more about that next week. And also, I watched Justin Blackman's college film extensively today.
And so we're teasing the next week.
We'll have some more of that next week.
Good tease.
Who's going to be in here with me and you? I don't know. But
yeah.
We'll be here.
We'll be here.
Double.